Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
Wednesday. I'm your host, Elder V, and this lesson, this show is brought to you by Almoida here on Babylon Talk Radio. That's what it's going to get today. Had some difficulty logging in this morning. Skype, Blog Talk, nobody wanting to cooperate, but we are here anyway, so we have made the devil out of a lie already. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank everyone for your support. We've got a lot of brand new listeners that are logging in to hear these lessons, things that are going on. The sisters are chiming in to the Heart of a Hebrew Woman and last Shabbat, in which we were able to bring you a wonderful message that the Most High gave us. We had quite a few people to log on brand new, so we just want to welcome you to the family of Almoida at Last Ministries, House of Israel, Deliverance Assembly. and the NorCal Hebrew Foundation Fellowship. Welcome. We look forward to meeting some of you face-to-face when we gather over in Oakland at the what we call our little temple, our synagogue. And pretty soon we'll be past these heathen holidays and we'll be moving back into the holy days. And when we get an opportunity to move back into the holy days, we are required to assemble ourselves together and to come together. And we will be looking forward to doing that by the Most High's grace. So unfortunately, couldn't get Skype to cooperate either. So we're coming live to you from my iPhone. So I pray that the signal's clear. You can let me know. The call-in number is 213-769-0910. I know many of you are listening via the internet through the link that you found on Facebook. And unfortunately, I can't interact with you that way. And I'd love to hear from you and interact with you. So I'd love for you to call in. It's 213-769-0910. And when you do call in, press 1. So I know that you have a question or a comment. But if you just want to listen in via the telephone, that's fine as well. Okay, let's go before our Abba in prayer before we do anything else, because I know it's hump day, but we're going to make it holy hump day. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we love you, that we can talk to you, and we can boldly approach your throne because of the sacrifice that our brother and our Messiah made, your only begotten Son, for us. There was a time we couldn't just come to you, but now we can lay our troubles down and give you all of our problems and our cares and concerns. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters that they will learn to do just that, that are spread throughout the four corners. I thank you that we're no longer concentrated in one area, but you spread us out because you require and you are calling and you are developing and you will save a remnant of your people. That remnant of people that you've already predestined and preordained, I pray for today that you will give them faith to continue, because I know you've got a big eraser in heaven and many of your people will be erased out of the Lamb's book of life. But the ones that endure till the end, so I'm praying for endurance, power, strength, fasting, overcoming, and victory over the world and over the devil and over temptations and over lust, that they will make it. I'm praying for the two-thirds, Father. Have mercy. I pray that more of them will make it into your kingdom, that they won't be caught up into religion, denominations, Hebrewisms, Christianity, just the things that set us to the side that are traditions of men, but they will have a relationship with you and keep your commandments and make the sacrifice of walking away from their flesh. I decree it and I speak it and I stand in my authority and ask that you send forth your anointing, which is the Christos, to your people to destroy the yoke, Father, as we are waiting patiently for you to return. We just thank you for it, Father, and we love you and we praise you in advance. We say hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, well, we're going to get into it, get into this brief lesson on this Wednesday to give you something to encourage your soul. Brother D, I don't know if you're on the road. I know you mentioned you were going to be gone. Are you there?
I'm here, not on the road yet. But I want to give all praises to the Most High and thank him for us seeing this day again. And you mentioned about us going to the Most High, bringing our troubles and our prayers to the Most High. And we don't have to go into any confessional like they do at Catholic Church, because that's the old Levitical priesthood way of doing things. We go to the Father through our HaMashiach, Yeshua. And we just thank him for that, that we can, that we do have a direct line to him.
That's right. That's right. We're too many of our people try to get away with their downfalls and their sins by trying to tell their brother and sister and taking the scripture out of context, confess your faults one to another. No, how about you get rid of these faults and repent and change your life and just come to him wholly and fully, because this is not the Catholic Church where you can just tell somebody. and your sins magically go away, and then you just keep committing them. No, it doesn't work like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I want to say something too, Brother V. Brother V has always said that, you know, we should try and fast every now and then to, you know, to get our bodies clean and to get closer to the Most High. And he's been convicting my soul with that, because I know I hadn't been doing that. But I did that this week, last week, and I'm telling you, it's a wonder when you do that. I mean, it just brings your body into order, and also gives you time to spend with the Most High. So I just thank you and appreciate the fact that you keep pushing that.
Well, it's not so much me; it's also the Most High, because there's certain demon spirits that won't even come out unless we get into prayer and fasting, and that's Mark 9:29, I believe, that says these kind come out but by prayer and fasting. And there are some demon spirits we can get off, but there are some. You're going to have to pray and fast away. And when you say that it brings you into balance, yes, fasting will heal you from certain diseases and sicknesses in your body. We don't realize that it's twofold. Spiritually, you kill off the demons that are attacking your body. And when you physically start to starve your body, those negative enzymes and diseases, your white blood cells go into warfare too and begin to fight off those diseases, because you're no longer plaguing your body with all the poisons and toxins that this world has to offer in the name of fast food and junk food. So it's very true.
And the least we can do is deny the flesh for the Most High every now and then.
That's right. I'm going to talk about this a little bit before. Today I'm going to go into a little bit of John 3:16. I want to encourage you about just who we are as a people and the love that the Most High has for our nation. That's going to be my exhortation for you. And then I also wanted to mention for a second about not getting caught up in learning the Hebrew language, people that are trying to teach you the Hebrew language, trying to get an understanding, because he said that he knew we would be in other nations scattered. And he said, with stammering lips, with another tongue, when I speak to my people, he knew we'd be speaking British, English, we'd be speaking what they speak in the Middle East and what they speak in the islands in Fiji. We're scattered all over. And he did that on purpose, because if we were in a concentrated area, it'd be easier for them to destroy us and kill us. And they're being very bold about the fact that they want to kill off the dark race now, because through eugenics and vaccinations, because the I think the president, or whatever you call the person over there in Chrome, I forget his name, over there in London or England, the guy that took over, he said that we need to save the animal population in Africa by making sure that we sterilize the African women and decrease the population, because they're putting undue stress on the animal population in Africa. So let's decrease the humans so that the animals can live. And he's right along with Bill Gates and everybody else, and certain vaccinations that are being geared towards a set of people that are impoverished and melanated, and they're wanting to decrease the population. But even with their attempts, we see judgment is coming. I don't know, Brother D, I watched a video this morning of a woman trying to come out of Paradise, California, their paradise, and drive through the fire. And she didn't make it through, and she videotaped that. And to see those flames coming into that car, and she was calling on God, and she probably didn't even believe in him, but she started believing in him while she was in the fire. And like they say, the smoke gets you first. The smoke will take you, choke you out, and then you'll burn. I saw another video of a gentleman who survived the fire, and he was just walking through Paradise, California, with a video camera showing you inside of cars of burnt-up carcasses, dead people in there. And I'm quite sure the numbers are greater than what they're telling us on the news, because there was over 30,000 people that lived in the town, and they tell you 200 are missing. Well, that means 200 are dead. They're not missing.
Yeah.
So
I saw.
Yeah, what's your thought?
I did see that. I did see that video. And the thing is, you get a lot of the media, a lot of different outlets, but they don't want to show what's really going on. They don't want to show that devastation. And so, but it's important that we see this. We see what's going on. We see the recompense that Most High is bringing on the nations out there. I mean, it's like they want to hide it. They don't want you to see any of that stuff. But that just brings into focus the reality of what's going on.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to be talking about today and this weekend. I'm talking about are we witnessing the judgment of Yah prior to our exodus? Is what I want to talk about today. But on this Shabbat, Most High willing, I'm going to have a different spin on that and talk about our disposition. If I know, even though I know recompense is coming, the horror of driving through flames with an impending for sure death haunted me and gave me a reverential fear of Yah, because when he gets upset, he's not playing. And I know I and the wife were talking about it, like, well, it must have been horrible to hang from a tree and be asphyxiated and can't breathe and then be burned to death while you're suffering, suffering for no air, and hanging from your neck and your neck is snapped, and to have people cut off your appendages and your fingers and your limbs. These are all the things, and feed your baby to alligators and make you watch. These are all the things that we suffered, and I hate to see anybody suffer. I hated to see that woman drive through the fire, but unfortunately, I can't stop the judgment that's coming on a group of people that can care less about other people. My heart goes out, so I'm duplicitous. I feel a little cognitive dissonance in that area because people are people and they're going to be hurting, but unfortunately, there's nothing I think we'll really be able to do, if you understand what I'm saying.
Exactly. And talking about the prophecy unfolding, Isaiah 19:9, because you know the 19:6, because you know the Sea of Galilee is drying up. And Isaiah 19:6 says, "And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense, of the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither." And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing over there, you know, the Euphrates is drying up, and darn near dried up. And then, like I said, the Sea of Galilee is starting to dry up. I mean, they're down at the level to where, almost to where it's the point of no return, where it can't, where it won't recover. And they're just probably a couple of feet away from that.
Right. Well, listen to this right here. Malachi 4:1. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Malachi 4:1 is speaking of what we're seeing happening with all these fires. And this is just a taste, because he said the whole world is going to burn with this fire. And you're seeing it start in the most beloved states in the world, where all the rich people, California's economy is number 7 compared to countries, or number 9 compared to countries throughout the entire world as far as its economy, and it's burning up. Let me read Malachi 4:1 again. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." You look at Paradise, California, the trees are burnt down. There's nothing. The man was going inside of people's cars with his video iPhone and showing you their bodies burnt up like stubble. I saw this. It horrified me. It made me say, don't play with Yah. I hope it makes you Hebrews, don't just sit there and laugh and say, aha, recompense, aha, because you ain't even made it in yet, Hebrews. He told us not to even ask or look for that day, because it's going to be a dark day, and we're going to be praying that we make it out, you know?
I was telling someone else that there is a remnant of people that he will protect, just like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in the fire, and Christ was with them in the fire, and they came out unsinged and untouched. So we read that for our gleaning and learning, and know that we have to stay close to Yah, like the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, because we're going to be in the mix of this judgment, but our prayer is that we will come out as pure gold, refined through the fire. People calling up here worried about us, thinking we're going to suffocate from the smoke. No, this judgment is not for us. It's for the other people. He's going to protect his people, and we've got to know that and believe it.
This is true. And when you look at it, Brother B., This is only the latest fire. We've had a number of devastating fires this year, to where we've had their family and life lost, property and loss of life. I mean, they've been devastating. This is just the latest.
Yeah, they're trying to keep everybody calm because they said it's the equivalent of smoking 7 cigarettes a day. So there's going to be a lot of cancer popping up on people in the coming years, the coming weeks. Emphysema, cancer, tuberculosis. We're breathing in burnt tires, burnt metal, burnt gas, burnt stuff that they put on the fire, burnt tree. We're bringing in ash. And let me remind the people, and I'm saying this morning because I'm doing a study on the plagues that came on Egypt. There's a couple of things you need to hear. One of the plagues is the boils and the sores. Guess how the boils and sores came about during the plague? This is how the boils and sores came about during the plagues. The Most High told Moses to dig into the furnace and grab the ashes and throw the ashes in the air. The ashes began to disperse throughout the atmosphere and land on the people and cause boils and sores. We are sitting around here with ashes all over our cars and coming down on us. There's a plethora of things that are getting ready to happen to people. But I'm asking you and I'm asking the question, are we witnessing the judgment of Yah prior to our exodus? Because you need to know a few things. There is prophecy that has to be fulfilled. We know about the third temple, the Antichrist manifesting, and a few other prophecies. But let's not forget that the plagues didn't happen one day at a time. That was over the years, over months before Pharaoh would say, okay, I'm going to let you go. And every time a plague came, he said, okay, I'm going to let you go. And then he changed his mind, kept changing his mind. And where we are at the conversation of everybody right now. The FBI just did their reports and turned it in that hate crimes are spiking. And the number one person that's going through the hate crimes are so-called African-Americans, the original Hebrews. Of course, we knew that. You didn't have to spend millions of dollars to make that report. We already know that we're the most hated. I'm going to encourage you in a minute and let you know who we are as a people and remind you the purpose of these things and why we're going through it. All right, Brother D, I know you got to run, so I'm going to let you go ahead. Put you on.
Well, you know, we're before, like I said, you're right. We are the most hated, and we're walking out these curses, but we have that. We have the blessing that we are the Most High's chosen people. And regardless of what the world thinks about us and what the world is doing to us, we have the love of the Most High because he has not cast away his people like the Christian church wants us to believe.
Has Yah cast away his people? No, he has not. And we find that with Shaul saying that. So, I'm going to get into some of that right now. Let me find that scripture. But before I do, let's look at the number one, John 3:16. Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. But you need to understand that the world he was talking about was the world of Israel. And the reason I tell you that, because he told us, love not the world, nor the things in the world. He would not contradict himself and tell us to come out of the world and love not the world, but then say he loves the world so much. He's in reference to a particular world group of people that he knows about. It's a microcosm. of people that he's aware of, that he's referencing. And we see that in Isaiah 45 and 17. And it says, but Israel shall be saved in Elohim with an everlasting salvation, meaning that our salvation, Yeshua, will come and bring us into the place of rest and peace for those thousand years. With an everlasting salvation, ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Israel is the world he's referencing, according to Isaiah 45 and 17, that he's coming to save and that will never end, and that he's so beloved, he gave his only begotten son. Even Christ told us that I came for the lost, for the house of Israel, for the lost tribe, for the lost sheep. He made it clear that that's who he came for, and we need to understand that. And we know that Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And let me find.
Mike, you want me to read that 11:1?
Go ahead.
Okay, Romans 11:1. I say then, hath Yah cast away his people? Yah forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
There it is right there. Yah hath not cast away his people and will not be casting away his people, because unto his people he committed the oracles of, you know, of Yah, his commandments, the law. He committed to his people to preach to the world and give to them. So there's no such thing as spiritual Israelites, no. And we do understand, and let me say something so that I don't throw you off. Other nations will come in, but there will be a remnant. And maybe if I have time, I'll talk about that. But it's because of Acts, the 10th chapter, to make us jealous, because we made Yah jealous by going after other gods and wanting to be like other nations. So he allowed other nations to be grafted in. But I'm here to let you know that that will be a very few nations that will live in their own land and will only be allowed to come up on every Feast of Tabernacles to worship Yah with us, but will not be dwelling with us, amongst us, in that new Jerusalem where the 12 gates enter in. They will not be going in, but they'll be grafted in and they'll survive. But they're not all going in.
Hey.
Now, that's another lesson. I'm going to focus on that a little bit later. Go ahead, Brother D.
But can I say something about that, too? And those people will be the ones, and that remnant will be the ones that will gladly come to be handmaiden servants for the Most High chosen people. There are a lot of people won't make it in because they probably won't let them in because they can't see themselves doing that for these chosen people that happen to be black people. And so there's going to be, like I said, it's going to be hard for some of them to do. That's where there's only going to be a remnant of them, because they can't get rid of their pride to allow them to accept the position that the Most High has for them in the kingdom.
Yeah, I hate to bring this up, and I'm going to say it. First, I'm going to also read a scripture that alludes to what you're referencing right now. But I hate to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, because I'm not really trying to make this about race, because truly, I do love nations. I follow peace with all men, because holiness without no man shall see the Lord. And I pray that they will come in, know that we're the people, keep these commandments, and know what their place is going to be for the atrocities that their people put upon us. But Paradise, California took it upon themselves to make sure that no black families lived up there and could move up there. They kept them out of the population, and the few black families that were there, they ran them out, and some of their houses got burnt down. They chased them out and made it clear that you're not wanted up here in Paradise, California. There's no black population in that city, that town. And I just had to point that out because of what you just said. Half the people don't even want to hear about us loving them the way Yah told us to follow love with them. They don't want us to do that because they despise us with a passion. And I'm going to read this because most people are going to be amazed when Christ comes back and they find out that he is a man that favors those who are being forsaken, shot down, killed, imprisoned, and hid in this earth right now. And that's Isaiah 52. 13 through 15. It says this: Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Talking about the Messiah when he comes back. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. His visage is his facial appearance and his skin tone, his color, his visage, his complexion is what that word means. It's marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Do you realize what that scripture is saying, Brother D?
I do. And, you know, and what you said, and that thing I'm looking at, you know, where there's no really no black population in paradise, they're removing Yah's protection from them because, you know, if you've got Hebrews in that community, you've got Yah's protection. They want to make these lily white enclaves out there, keeping black people out, but they're removing Yah's protection from them.
Hey, listen, I have not seen one hurricane hit Africa yet.
You're right.
They stir up in the middle
Absolutely
of the ocean,
right,
and they come in to North America and decimate areas that had slavery and lynchings and hangings going on. But let me continue this Isaiah thing so they can see about the servant. That was first Isaiah 52, 13 through 15 that describes him. Now listen to Isaiah 53 and 2. But he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form and no comeliness. He wasn't handsome. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So Christ is not coming back looking like Denzel Washington or Billy D. Williams. This is how people treated him. It's not about his external appearance. That's why people want to deny him. They're not going to believe when he comes back. You know what they're going to say? This end could not be the son of Yah, because he's going to look like a real true brother.
Another thing about Isaiah 53, for those who the non-messianic child here, this is talking about Yeshua in the Old Testament. And Yeshua's all over the Old Testament. And so you can find precepts in there to show that, you know, the New Testament, it predicts Yeshua's coming.
There you go. Isaiah really had a lot of prophecies that predict his coming. Let's even look at Daniel. He's another prophet. Daniel 10, verse 5. I looked up and suddenly saw a man clothed in linen in front of me. He had a brilliant gold belt around his waist. 6, and his body was like topaz. His face was like a flash of lightning, and his eyes were like burning torches. His arms and feet looked like polished bronze. Same thing you see in Revelations 1, 12 through 14. And when he spoke, it sounded like the roar of a crowd. And in verse 7, only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The other people who were with me didn't see it. Daniel saw a vision of Christ back then, and he was during the times of Isaiah. But then we have John on the Isle of Patmos that gives you the same description. And Isaiah telling you that he's not comely. People don't find him so strikingly handsome. So he was always there. And the people, but the thing I really want to point out in 52 and 14, the people were astonished at his visage. But 15 said that the kings are going to shut their mouths at him for that which had not been told them they're going to see for their own selves, because they've been lied to about Caesar Borgia or the fact that he never existed. They're going to see that he does exist.
Yeah, and that's another thing that when you do hear Hebrews out there, they'll say that, you know, Yeshua never existed, because they have accepted the lies that are being told to them. And we have been told lots of lies. And, you know, but you know, just like Second Thessalonians 2:11 says that they're being deluded, that you know, the Most High sends them delusion, so they believe a lie because they want to believe that lie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now let me give some encouragement to my people about us receiving the oracles of Yah and Him not being done with us. He has never cast us away, and there's no spiritual Israel. Only a few of the remnant don't get in. It's about His people that He's going to save. And I'm going to look at Isaiah 40:13-18, and then I'm going to go to 2 Esdras. I want you to hear a different spin on this. Isaiah 40:13. Who hath directed the spirit of Yah? Or losing his counselor, have taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations of the races, listen to me, Isaiah 40:15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. 16. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for even a burnt offering. This is how much he thinks about it. 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Verse 18, to whom then will ye liken Yah, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Now let's go to 2 Esdras chapter 6. You'll find that in the Apocrypha. You can go to Google and pull it up. 2 Esdras chapter 6, verses 54 through 57. And it says this, and after thee, Adam also, whom thou madest, Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen. We all come from Adam, and the people he chose out of all that did come from him. 54 makes that clear. Now listen to verse 55. All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sakes, Israel. As for the other people, verse 56 says this, as for the other people, which also come of Adam, thou hast said that they are nothing, but be like unto spittle, spit, and has likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falleth from a vessel. This is what he thinks of the other nations as spittle, as spit, like a drop in a bucket, because he created this land for Israel, the people made in his image. And now, O Lord, behold, these heathen, which have ever been reputed as nothing, have begun to be lords over us and to devour us. Ezra saw what was happening. And this is prophecy, because he told Moses and the people that came out of Egypt that the stranger that sojourns amongst you will get high above you and will be over you. And even Esdras saw this, and he wrote this in the vision, that the people that are nothing to him, Yah, were going to be lording over us. Then he said in verse 58, but we, thy people, whom thou hast called by the firstborn, the only begotten and the fervent lover, are given into their hand. If the world now be made for our sakes, why do we not possess an inheritance with the world? How long shall this endure? And this was the question that was asked by Ezra in the Apocrypha, that some of you Hebrews don't want to read because you're part of the Nicene Council. You better some Roman Catholics tell you what you can read. Go ahead. Brother, do you got any comment on that?
Yeah, what I would say is, after all that you just read, is there any doubt that Yah loves his people and has not cast his people? There can be no doubt. I mean, after reading all of that, I mean, it should lift every Hebrew's heart.
Absolutely. So that's just something I want to give as encouragement to our people, just a few scriptures. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I don't want to get into the remnant today. That's a whole other lesson. I've actually done that lesson before a few months back. You can find that in the archives. I just kind of wanted to give some encouragement in that capacity. And the thing I wanted to bring out about the Hebrew is because, listen, people, there's Paleo Hebrew and there's phonetic Hebrew, and our people learned phonetic Hebrew. And what you need to understand, phonetic Hebrew was pictograph Hebrew. We wrote in signs. The reason I'm bringing this out, because there's a lot of people that want you to just learn Hebrew, but they're not learning, teaching you the commandments, the law, and the fear of Yah, and deliverance, and casting out demons, and fasting, of what you really need to know. You don't need to focus up on this Hebrew language, and the reason being is because when Yah scattered us, he also allowed for the language to be slightly different amongst Hebrews in different areas. There's a brother who wrote down on Facebook, he said, "We're the people of Yah, and we live in the islands of the sea. In our language, Ta means father. Ta is also used in something across, or it means to cross over. It means the opposite. It's called Ta'ai. Adding the ancient I to the Ta to make it Ta'ai. Ada is another Hebrew dialect, which means son." So what he was trying to say, make it clear, is like how modern Hebrew language is expressed with our Alahayim. When he scattered the tribes throughout the world in ancient times, he also confused our Hebrew language. That is why we have so many Hebrew translations of the Hebrew language. Only thing he never confused was his sacred name, Yah, which is why we say hallelujah, and hallelujah is the highest praise. I remember there was a few camps back in the days trying to say, tell you that hallelujah was not a Hebrew word or a word we should use, and that's not of God, trying to delete the name Yah because it did not ascribe to the name they wanted you to call him according to their camp. But I'm going to say hallelujah all day. As a matter of fact, there's a manuscript and a manifest that shows when the Hebrews came off the slave ship, they all had Yah within their names. And if you knew the proper names of the prophets and the apostles before the transliteration came, you'd see that they all have Eliyah in their name. Matanyahu, which is Matthew. Yachanan, which is John. These are things that are being hidden from you in plain sight. The other thing I want to say real quick about the language is even with the Yiddish that everybody's teaching you, that's not even a true language, because that was created by a man who was German and who was trying to create a language for the Khazars to have of their own after they had already stolen our heritage and our culture. So he created a language for them as well, and that's Yiddish. And that's what these broke-down hobo Hebrews are going around teaching you Yiddish and trying to get you to copy Judaism and the rabbinic culture. And we are not them, and that is not our language, and that's not what Yah wants us to learn. Why does he not want us to learn that? I'll tell you in 1 second. I'm going to let you know about this guy. His name is Eliezer ben Yehuda. You look him up. How he created the Yiddish language, and it's a mix of Russian, German, some Hebrew, and it's a Paleo Hebrew, not phonetic pictogram Hebrew. Let's be clear. Now you go to Wikipedia or Google and pull up Eliezer ben Yehuda. Find out how he made that language. What I want you to understand is that Yah said, when I return, not only am I going to have a new name, not only am I going to give you a name, but I'm going to give you a pure language so that you can all serve me with one consent. I'm going to change the language anyway. So that's not your focus. We have Hebrews that speak other languages. Not only did he scrabble the words at the Tower of Babel, but when the Hebrews got scattered, we began to put different spins. It's just like you can find a black man today from Louisiana. He's got a tone. Houston, they talk different. New York, they talk different. You need to understand that and not let that be your focus as much as crucifying your flesh, coming closer to Yah, dying out to this world, knowing the promises of who we are, and letting hate and unforgiveness be out your heart, and become a witness to this world about the oracles of Yah and who he is in the shortness of time, as we are witnessing the preparation of a mass exodus of his people. Listen to me closely. When he brought the people out, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to save this for the Shabbat, but when he brought the people out, right before he sent the final plague, he told all the Hebrews to go to the Egyptians and tell them, give me your gold and silver, and they willingly gave it to him. There's going to come a time where you're going to have what you need when he takes us out so that we will be sustained. There's things that we're going to take a look at in the coming days of the disposition of our people on the during the time of Exodus preparation. And we'll talk more about that. So I want you to be encouraged and keep your head up. And don't be fearful during this time of these fires and what's happening. Don't be fearful. Wear your mask. Keep that dust away from yourself. Do what you can to protect you. But our ultimate protection is going to be from and in Yah. Think of the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. No smoke, no flame, no heat, nothing singe them or touch them. And you have that same protection. Because I want you to know it's not just what's happening in California. Yemen is being bombed. The Gaza Strip is being destroyed. Africa, they're going all throughout Africa, shooting and destroying tribes and trying to take back Southern Africa. There's things they're not even showing you in the news that are happening to people that hate us as a people. You need to just stay close to Yah in this hour and be prepared. Brother Z, I'm bringing you back in. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring up this the Yiddish. I was just reading about that last night, and that it was put together with a bunch of different languages, Slavic languages. Matter of fact, this person that speaks German can figure out a lot of that. But the Hebrews, when they went from place to place, they didn't mix the other, you know, Canaanite, they didn't mix the other language in with their Hebrews. They spoke Hebrew, pure Hebrew.
Right. Absolutely. They didn't mix it. When we got scattered, that's when it began to be mixed, because we started blending amongst these other nations, and that's when they started calling us the Hellenistic Jews. But one thing we did when we were scattered, many of us still would come back for the Feast of Pentecost and weeks and tabernacles. We knew what we were supposed to do, and we've gotten away from that. So, but I just wanted to bring some of that out to encourage the people. As far as the 12 tribe chart is being destroyed, Hebrew camps, that's being destroyed. People are leaving the Christian church in droves. There's just an awakening, and many people, Satan is trying to be cunning and get people to awaken to the wrong side of the bed, as I always say. But we just need to be encouraged, be prepared, and be diligent, and keep our eyes open to what is really transpiring all around us. As a matter of fact, posted something on the Facebook page about this awakening and about us as Hebrews. Go to VThePreacher and Tamatara.com. And you can see some of these posts and things that we put up. But I'll say this real quick. Let me put you on mute, Brother D, because I know you're moving. Let me put you on mute while I read this. First of all, this brother put up a good post, and I want to read this. You'll find it on my page. And the acronym was RELAX. He said, recognize that you're the sons and daughters of the Most High, Yahweh, Yah. And you're through a chosen bloodline, which moves through Jacob, later named Israel. Examine the scriptures and study to show yourself approved unto the Most High. Yah, we were punished for our disobedience. Things were taken away from us. We were a civilized group of people that came to the Americas, went up through England, had the kingship. We were the royal family. We had to suffer because we did not keep the commandments, and we brought these curses upon us, according to Deuteronomy 28. We were punished for our disobedience, and in the last days we'll be awakened and grafted in by the adoption of the Messiah. You must believe in Yahushua, the Christ, Jesus Christ, whom this world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ, because the letter J is 500 years old. Let go. As a Hebrew awakened, we must now consciously begin to come out of this world's system of being Letting go means to be set apart in everything we do. Turn to the scripture to understand the law, statutes, and commandments. So in other words, listen, let me say this to you. When you start keeping the commandments, you will set yourself apart because they force you to come out of the world. You start dressing different, eating different, thinking different, shutting down different. You become a set apart person by keeping the commandments. You become Kodesh and you move into holiness because you're in sync with the Most High's holy tablets. Your attitude has got to change. He put this down, and I'm reading this because I like it. We live in the midst of the enemy of our people. In order to be successful in this world, our mindset must take on the attitude of the Most High. We must learn to love our fellow Israelites and begin to stop the dependence upon our enemies for our survival. And this one, that's all I'm going to read for right now, but I'll read these scriptures. The scripture says that our entire heritage would be stripped away, it's Jeremiah 17 and 4, and that the entire confederate of the planet nations, the UN, would hold that secret from us and try and hide it, according to Psalms 83. And we already know that every one of those tribes that came out of Jacob and Israel were the dark-skinned races that have been scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. I say to the other nations, you can be grafted in and redeemed and have an opportunity to make it into eternity. You are not the people, but you can be brought through. You can read that in. You're not to boast against the natural branches, which is the true original Hebrews. That being the people that are ostracized and hated in this world that the curses of Deuteronomy 28 are still upon. If you despise these people and hate these people, you're going to start to see judgment like you're seeing right now on the news. The little bit that they'll show you, you're going to see more of it. And you'll be a part of it unless you repent, come to Yah, keep the commandments, learn from Israel and follow them because you like to copy what they do anyway in the world. Now copy what the ones who are Kodesh, holy, set apart do. And to my people, listen, holiness is the only religion you need to ascribe to. Come out of Jehovah's Witness. Come out of Seventh-day Adventist. Come out of Church of God in Christ. Come out of Baptist. Come out of GOCC and IUIC and ISUPK. And all in one West camps, come to the commandments, the Sabbath. Start with the 10 and then grow into the over 200 and something that are applicable to us, seeing that we're not in our land. Change your diet. Change your prayer life, your habits. Fast. Seek Yah. Let there be a difference. Come to Him. And find like-minded believers. If you can't find them, tune into this radio station when we come on. And let's sojourn together and be prepared like Lot. When he comes to get us, to pull us out of harm's way and destruction, let's be prepared. Praying for you and your family and your mindset and your strength that you will overcome. Fire today. Be encouraged. And as I always say, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. You are not handicapped. You are equipped. You are not forgotten or forsaken. Keep the faith and be encouraged. I'm Elder V. This has been Inspirational Wednesday. Keep your head up. Stay optimistic. Our salvation is drawing nigh, closer than it was before. Hallelujah.
Keep your head up.